Good evening. Good to see everybody this evening. I know I always say this when I come up here, but it's been another good Lord's Day. I hope it's been a good Lord's Day for you. The Lord has given us grace to feast on His Word this morning and come to the Lord's table together to worship our triune God. And then we get to come back this evening for a short message concerning our Lord and to pray together. And that's what we're here to do tonight, is to hear God's Word and to pray together. So before we do that, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this Lord's Day, Lord. We thank you for the mercies and graces that you showed us this morning when we got together to worship you, Lord. We thank you for the preaching of the Word. We thank you, Lord, how it changes us and how it grows us in our sanctification, Lord, and how we were able to come to the Lord's table and visibly see the gospel before our eyes, Lord. We thank you for the mercy that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Lord, we ask that as we meet together this evening, concerning the second commandment, we ask, Lord, that it would be profitable, that it would be encouraging, that it would be convicting, and most of all, Lord, that it would be glorifying to you. We ask all these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is our last study on the second commandment. For some of you, you might be going like this in your heart. Get them off the pulpit. It's been 3 weeks. But it's been a good study. I hope it's been profitable for all of us to look at these questions and answers together. As I've said before, and just as a reminder, our catechism is split up into three parts. Part one is man's misery or his guilt. Part two is of man's redemption or grace. And part three, which is where we find ourselves in our study this evening, is of man's thankfulness or gratitude, which opens up with the law, specifically the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Man finds himself in sin, depraved and in darkness, and the way that we know this misery, our catechism tells us in question three, is by looking at God's law. Remember, the law of God is what tells us that we are sinners and we are in misery. Paul tells us that he would not even know what sin was except for the law. And God in his providence gave us a way out of this misery by sending our Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us from our sins and give us everlasting life if we do indeed repent of our sins and trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. Making salvation by grace alone, through Christ alone, where we can only find that message in the Scriptures alone, through at which is a result and will result in us giving God the glory alone. Paul tells us in Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Once we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are then to live thankful lives to our Lord for saving us. And one way in which we show our thankfulness to the Lord is to obey His very holy law. Again, Paul tells us in Romans 3, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith?" By faith alone, we're saved by faith alone. So now we throw out the law, Paul says, "By no means, on the contrary, we uphold the law." We have the ability to uphold the law. And just as we've seen the last two studies, we find ourselves in God's law, specifically the second commandment, this evening in closing on our study. What I'd like to do as opening up in opening is I would like to just look at the questions we've covered so far by just reading them out loud and then moving straight into our last question, which is question 108. Our study started in question 105, which asks, "What is the second commandment? You shall not make any graven image, nor the likeness of anything which is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, nor in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, and visit the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy to thousands of them who love me and keep my commandments." That's the second commandment. What does this second commandment require? That we should not express or represent God by any image or shape and figure, or worship Him any other way than He has commanded in His Word to be worshipped. May any images or resemblances of God be made at all? God neither ought nor can be represented by any means. As for this, things created, although it is lawful to depict them, God nevertheless forbids their images to be made or possessed in order to worship or honor them or God by them. And our question this evening, question 108, "But may not images be tolerated in churches which may serve as books to the common people?" Answer, once again, No, for that would make us wiser than God, who will have his church be taught by the lively preaching of his word and not the speechless images. This is a good question. What about when we are teaching people about Jesus? Especially the common people. And this word common people, it's an old way of speaking, but it may be the illiterate, it might be those who cannot read, it might be the young, the common people who are unable maybe to open up the Word of God and read it. Shouldn't we try or use the means of images to teach these people about Jesus? And that's the argument of many today. They say, we are not making images of our Lord so that people can worship it. We're just trying to help people to know Jesus. Though the motive may not be evil, our catechism, our forefathers historically, and mainly and most importantly, the scriptures prohibit images of our Lord to be used for worship or for the medium of teaching about our Lord. So then we must answer no to this question. Our answer tonight answers the question of should images be tolerated in churches which may serve as books to the common people by saying no, and then it gives us a threefold explanation, which are, for me, just a small outline, a strong accusation, secondly, a means that God has provided, and third, a final prohibition. First, we see a strong accusation. Our catechism says, for that would make us wiser than God. That would make us wiser than God. As to say, no, you can't use images of God to teach others about him. That would make you wiser than God. You see, making an image of God is nothing but a figure of our imagination, and is man trying to add to God's word and man trying to be wiser than God. We see the people of God in the scriptures over and over being rebuked for trying to make new ways to worship God. We see this throughout the Old Testament. In the case of the second commandment violation, committing adultery, acting as if the Lord did not give us enough to be able to know him and to worship him. Last Lord's Day, I gave the example of Israel using an image, specifically a golden calf, to worship Yahweh. It says there that they were worshiping the Lord, L-O-R-D capitalized. So it wasn't that they had this image of a golden calf and they were worshiping a false god. They were trying to worship the one true God through this golden calf. And that was prohibited, and they were disciplined by God for doing so. Brothers and sisters, any time that we are tempted to be wiser than God and add to his word, specifically add to the means by which we worship him, we must back off very quickly from that temptation. Though tempting, we must always go to God's word to see if what we are doing is permissible by God's word when it comes to worshiping our Lord or teaching people about our Lord. Well, secondly, we see a means that God has provided. It says, who will have his church be taught by the lively preaching of his word? Here it is. Here's the answer. This is the answer for us. So not by images of Jesus or images of God the Father or the Spirit, but by the word of God. This is so good. How are we to teach the common people or anyone at all about our Lord? By the means of the preaching of the Word of God. By the means of opening up the Scriptures with them and teaching them of our Lord. You want people to know about Jesus? Don't take out a picture book. Take out the Word of God and use it, because it is sufficient for them to know the Lord. Bring them to church on the Lord's Day. And let them sit under the preaching of the Word of God. And that is sufficient for someone to know our Lord. And that's if the church is preaching the Word of God. So many churches wanting to use all these special schemes and these special ways of teaching God's Word by showing them pictures and skits of Jesus or images of Christ so that they might learn about him, and they forget to preach the Word of God. Away with all those schemes and manipulation. Those people don't need images to know him. Give them the Word of God. It is sufficient for them to know our Lord. And might I say that it is the only way that they will come to know our Lord. Some might argue because they use Jesus films in the mission field as evangelism, or take them to see the Passion of the Christ, or watch this popular film about the Bible with images of our Lord, that those means will bring them to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it isn't because of those false ways that they come up of teaching our Lord. It is in spite of those things that they come to know the Lord. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm going to go through some scripture here. And it's just a beautiful picture of why God's Word, the preaching of God's Word, the Word of God itself is sufficient. It is the only power to salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 and following says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom," they didn't know Him through the wisdom of men coming up with these different ways to come to know God. "It pleased God through the folly of what we preached to save those who believe. For the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom." Signs and wisdom. I want to see things. I want to see miracles. Wisdom, we can do it whichever way we want. "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God," not that God has foolishness in Him, but "the foolishness of God is wiser than men," saying even the wisest man that's ever lived, God's foolishness is wiser than that because He's God. "And the weakness of God," again, not that He's weak, "is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise." Still speaking of the preaching of the Word of God. "God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, through the preaching of the Word, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, which we receive through the Word of God, the Spirit of Christ, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Paul, writing to Timothy, is instructing Timothy, young Timothy, a young minister of the gospel. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." Timothy was acquainted with the sacred writings. It didn't say that Timothy was brought up by seeing images of God or pictures of God to learn. It says, "But you were acquainted with the sacred writing, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Every good work. Every single good work comes from where? The Word of God. Then Peter says in 2 Peter 1, we read in 16 and following, "For we did not follow cleverly devices, myths, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Peter goes, and by the way, I did see Jesus. I know exactly what it looks like. "For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic, glory, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on that holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." And if that's not clear, Romans chapter 10, a very familiar verse, "How then will they call on Him who they have not believed?" How are they to call on Jesus if they haven't believed on Him? By us putting up big movies about Jesus? And how are they to believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Hearing, preaching, hearing the word of God brings and communicates the gospel that faith might come to a man. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is more than sufficient for us to know our Lord, and we are commanded by God to preach the word and not use extra biblical sinful ways to explain our Lord. If man has any hope at all, if your brothers, your sisters, your children, your grandparents, all those people we can think about that we love so much, have any hope to be saved from their sins, it is only going to come through the preaching of the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We need to preach the Word of God. And the Word of God is sufficient for us, not silly images made up by men who think they are wiser than God. And this is why our catechism gives us one last prohibition, which is our third and final point. Then I want to give us all some encouragement. I hope I can encourage us. After hearing me lecture you about not having images of Jesus and images of God for the last three Lord's days, I want to give you some encouragement, and I want to give you encouragement from God's Word. But finally it says, and not the speechless images. This is old language once again here, is to say, and not use images of our Lord for the means of communicating information about our Lord or worshiping our Lord. Isaiah 40:18. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare him? The answer? Nothing. Peter encourages us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though we have not seen him, though we have not heard from him, we love him because we have heard the preaching of the word of God. We have seen Christ by faith, and we have embraced him, and we have trusted in him. And now we love him, even though we have not seen him. Well, I hope that I have convinced you by our historical theology, our confessions, our creeds, and most of all by Scripture, that the second commandment prohibits us from making any images of God, either the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, I hope we are convinced and convicted that if we do so, it is a sin, and it must be repented of. It's a violation of God's law, the second commandment. Well, I said I wanted to encourage you. Like I said, I've lectured enough on this topic. The Catechism lays it out clearly for us. The Word of God even gives a clearer understanding of this for us. But I do want to encourage us this evening. Brothers and sisters, there's good news. There's good news and promises in the Scripture, promises that are still promised to us in the future. And one of those promises is that we will see Christ. We will one day see Christ. We will see him as he is. We will be able to look face to face into our Lord's eyes. But not yet. Not yet. Though the Word of God prohibits images now, we will see our Lord. Every one of us in this room will see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when we go to glory, or if we're still alive and the Lord comes back to get us, and we will see our Lord. Listen to what the Apostle John says. It seems like the Apostle John in his last letter seemed to be a little fascinated with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We will see our Lord face to face. And verse 5, and he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. These words are trustworthy and true. God will dwell with man, and man will dwell with God, and we will see them face to face. John again in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, brothers and sisters, if this is not just encouraging to our hearts, our temptation is to go there. Our temptation is to want to see the Lord, to use these images and to use them as tools to teach and to worship, but they're prohibited and they're a violation of the second commandment. But we will see our Lord. And John says, Behold, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. I guarantee every single image that a man has created here on earth that is supposed to be our Lord won't even touch the foothills of the beauty and majesty of the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we see him face to face. Brothers and sisters, be patient. Be patient. For though we cannot see our Lord now, we will see him face to face in glory, and we will spend eternity with him, face to face, praising and glorifying him in heaven, which is due to him, because he is our Lord and our Savior, and we will see him face to face. So I hope that is encouraging to us, that we will one day see our Lord face to face. We will see exactly what he looks like, because he will be fully man and fully God still in heaven, and we will have fellowship with him. But until then, brothers and sisters, may we be disciplined. May we train ourselves to be obedient to God and take the word of God, which he has left for us, and believe truly that this is sufficient for us to be able to share, teach, and worship our Lord, for it is the only thing he has left for us. And then that day will come when we see our Lord face to face. May that be a day that we all yearn for. May the Lord come back soon. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is sufficient. It is sufficient for us, Lord, to know you. It is sufficient for us to be able to worship you. It is sufficient, Lord, for all things in life and godliness. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us grace, much grace, Lord, to depend on your word daily for our walk with you, that we might even become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. But, Lord, we also ask that you would give us a heart that anticipates, that yearns, and that wants to receive and come to that day when we see our Lord face to face, where there will be no more sin, where our bodies must be glorified, even to be in the presence of our triune God. Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Spirit of Christ that now, Lord, we ask would come and be with us as we pray, as we praise you, as we come together as your people, Lord. We ask that the Spirit of Christ to be with us and encourage us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name.